We're going to talk about Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 24 this morning. Title of the message is Daniel Saves the Day. And we will start in verses 1 through 11 with the king's dream. The king's dream. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. When Nebuchadnezzar became king, he started as a co-regent or a co-ruler with his father, who was the king before him. Daniel and his friends came to Babylon in the first year of his reign, and then were in training for 3 years, according to chapter 1. By chapter 2, it is the second year of Nebuchadnezzar reigning alone as king of the Babylonian Empire. In this second year, he dreams a very troubling dream. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. So these are the people who can get in touch with the spirit world. These are the people who can read the ancient magical books and the incantations. These are the people who can interpret the stars. These are the people that are the original families of Babylon that have the ancient wisdom, the Chaldeans. And so the king calls on all these people. Now, probably these were the people that worked for his father, Nebuchadnezzar the Great or the First. And so these were the old advisors, so he calls them. But the king has a secret. He doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust them. He thinks that they have been lying to him. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, which was the language that the king spoke and his subjects would have spoken. And actually, Daniel wrote a part of the book of Daniel in this language. And they said, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now, if you think about this, not that it's something you want to think about before you eat, but this is pretty brutal here. He's not just going to kill them, he's going to slice them into pieces. He's going to cut them up into pieces, and then he's going to take their houses where their families live, because they have families, and he's going to turn them into dunghills, and you can figure out what that means. But at any rate, he's threatening them. And he says, I've forgotten it. I don't know whether he really forgot the dream or whether or not he's just trying to get them to tell him what it is, to test them, because he doesn't trust them. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. So Nebuchadnezzar has laid this test before them. He wants them to tell him what he dreamed and interpret it so he can know that they're telling him the truth. The Chaldeans answered, therefore, the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, rather, God can show it, not the gods, but of course they didn't know God. And now we see the king's decree in verses 12 through 15. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now, he had only called the traditional Babylonian advisors that could get in touch with the spirit world. But he did not call Daniel and his friends. But this decree to destroy all the wise men of Babylon would apply to Daniel and his friends as well. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And then we see in verses 16 through 18, Daniel's desire. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So he desired time from the king and mercy from God. In the New Testament, James says in James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And so that's what Daniel did. He prayed. By the way, when James wrote this, he's writing this in the context of going through a trial. And Daniel and his friends were certainly going through a trial. And they needed wisdom to know what to do because they were about to be killed. And so they prayed to God. And that's what we should do as well. Now we see the fourth thing, the king's dream is revealed in verses 19 through 23. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know, when things get tough, it's good to know the true God.
Hey, that's right.
And that's what Daniel did. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." You see how God controls everything. He's in control of the world. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and removes kings. So God's in control of everything in the world. And some of us get nervous when certain people get elected and things happen in the country, but understand that God removes kings and sets up kings, and God's really in control of the whole thing, and He's ultimately working out His own purposes. And so we don't need to get so nervous. We need to trust that God knows what He's doing. He revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. And I'm glad that God does know what's in the darkness, because I don't. And you don't either. And so when life gets dark and we don't know what's going on, then you have to trust that there's God in heaven who knows what's going on and He's in control.
Amen.
Right. "I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." And then we see number 5 in the last verse, Daniel's decision. "Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, 'Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation.'" So Daniel could have said, "Don't destroy the Hebrews. We have the true God and true wisdom." But instead he says, "Don't kill any of the wise men. Don't destroy the sorcerers. Don't destroy the magicians. don't destroy the Chaldeans. By the way, they worshiped false gods and they did evil things. But he said, don't destroy them. Daniel had compassion on these men and their families. Perhaps he was friends with some of them. You know, he'd been educated in their schools. He'd been trained in the same dark arts that they were trained in, even though he didn't use them. He had a Christ-like attitude. Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. And that included Daniel and the Hebrews, but it included the others as well. And this reminds me of the story of Jesus when he was heading to Jerusalem to be crucified. In Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Now, did the Jews and the Samaritans get along? No, the Jews despised the Samaritans. The Samaritans despised the Jews. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go up to Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus goes into the city and he's looking towards Jerusalem. And the Samaritans say, we don't want him here. We're not going to receive him. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou command, or wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? What compassion. James and John were good Jews and they hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans had slighted Jesus and his disciples and they weren't going to put up with that from these dirty, mixed race Samaritans. You want us to command fire to come down and consume them. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of.
That's right.
For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You see, God gave them a choice. You want to reject Christ? Fine. Now's the time of mercy. We'll go someplace else to preach. You have a choice, and you may be here and think your fight is with the liberals, the perverts, the opposing political party. You may wish, as some have said, that California would have a big earthquake and fall off into the ocean to get rid of all the liberals and the perverts. You may wish for the destruction of your enemies, but Christ came to save them. And our fight is not with people, but it is with the devil who pulls the strings of those who are in his clutches. For the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so, as was sung earlier, the only way that a man that beats his wife and the mom has to hide behind her child to keep from being beat up by dad, the only way that that changes is through Christ.
Amen.
And the gospel.
Yeah.
The only way the drunk becomes sober is through Christ.
Right.
The only way that the pervert becomes pure is through Christ.
Amen.
The only way the homosexual and the transgender get straightened out is through Christ.
Amen.
Through Christ. Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he'll save you if you'll put your faith in him. And he wants to save those people as well. And we as the church need to preach the gospel. The time right now is not for God to destroy men's lives. Judgment will come eventually, but God now is offering them mercy and salvation. It's our job to offer the same, and that's what Daniel did in this situation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work you're doing in their place. I thank you for the blessing we've gotten from this music and this singing and from your word. And we just pray that you would bless us now as we go to eat and fellowship together, and we pray we'd have a good time of fellowship and enjoy your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a verse of Amazing Grace. If you need to come to the